We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. It sounds like the fun has begun over there at the McMichael household.
Man, this tall boy so cold, man, it hit the back of my neck. Like,
what is it? What do you got going over there?
Oh, I got me a nice Corona, Andy. I got a Corona, ooh. Andy.
Well, that sounds nice. Miss Robbie, was, by the way.
It was something left over, so I need to find some.
Yeah, I mean, look, whatever you got.
It was something in the bottom of the refrigerator. I picked
what Miss Robbie sent us was a Southern Lager, the Mountain Jam that she sent over from Southbound Brewing Company.
Okay.
Which just sounds delicious. Like, some days are more frustrating than other days when it comes to wanting a beer really bad. But at 1 o'clock on Friday, when you crack open yours and all of our listeners are drinking what they're drinking, and most Fridays I've just recently lost at Sports Jeopardy, that's when I want the beer the most.
Yeah.
That's when I want the beer the most.
Yeah, but
today would be a celebratory beer, and that would be great too.
Yeah, man, but I mean, the fact is that you get that damn upset. It just makes me laugh. And I think that's when I lose, when I start laughing. When I keep my focus.
That's what happened. Okay.
When I keep my focus, I don't ever lose. But when you start acting when you act, I start laughing and I lose my focus. And then I had Donna texting me and I got you all pouty. You calling folks names. I'm just like, why are you?
I didn't call
upset?
Anybody a name. I just said, absurd is what I said.
Okay,
I didn't call you a jerk. I said absurd.
But I'm just saying, why is it that serious?
It's a competition, Randy. Always compete. What are we doing? What's the point of doing it if you don't want to win?
I never said I don't want to win. I want to win.
We can just roll the questions out there and tag team them and see how much we know, or we can compete.
I want to win. Don't get me wrong. I want to win.
I know.
But
and you lost.
Losing is not that bad.
Losing is the worst. If there's a competition and you can win or lose, losing is the worst possible outcome.
So my Friday should be ruined, right?
Yeah, hopefully. I hope you have a terrible weekend. That's what I want. I hope your beer tastes bad. I hope your dinner tastes bad. I hope you sleep bad. I hope your weekend sucks. And all week next week, because I'm going to be on vacation. I don't hope. I hope you have an awesome weekend.
I hope you think about it
while you go to bed tonight. I hope you're laying there on your pillow thinking about me.
You know, I probably don't forget about it after this segment.
I know, which is another part of what makes it so frustrating, because as you know, if that would not have gone my way, I would have been thinking, I would have been at the baby shower for my first child tomorrow, opening these beautiful gifts, some of them from your lovely family. Like, so many wonderful people from the McMichael family have sent gifts as well. I would have been opening the gifts, and instead of thinking about the wonderful thing that Aunt Pam got for Lily, I would have been thinking, that damn Randy, he knows so much about his buzzer. He's so fast on his buzzer, and he says it with his chest. Why don't I say it with my chest? What's wrong with my chest? I would have had an existential crisis. So
yes,
I'm
I think
glad
you
that didn't happen. Mike Conti is going to join us in 20 minutes to talk about some Atlanta United, as Atlanta United gets set to play tomorrow for the first time in four months. We made it. Okay.
Yes,
like,
take solace
in what tomorrow is going to be. We made it. Like, it was a really long time without sports. They're going to play tomorrow.
I'm so excited about watching them play tomorrow. And of course, you know, I'm gonna do my best, because I told you, I mean, you both are, you know, well, you'd be up at the in-laws.
I know, but we know how
we tried to line up Mike with the TV and everything. I'm gonna do my best. I want to hear Jason and Mike call the game.
Yeah.
So So I'm gonna do my best to get it done. I mean, yeah. But yeah, I'm so excited about tomorrow getting a chance to watch United play. I might even watch in the basement. I haven't watched sports in my basement since the last United game.
Really?
So you said
because we didn't have actual, you know, because it was such a weird.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, go back down there.
Yeah, man. Maybe that's the last time I watched sports. That I only go down. I mean, I go down because the refrigerator down there to get some beer. But other than that, I don't go down there.
You just got Isaiah using it as
his damn man, his boy, Laird. I was about to call him a man, you know, because he liked to say he a man. You know, damn man. Came the other day, dog, tried to show me little mustache strands right there. Look at it, daddy. Look at it, daddy. I'm like, get that. Well, you got my dad on face, daddy. Look at it right there. Look at it. Look at that, daddy. Get out my face.
All right.
Talk about that little piece of hair.
Mike Conti joins us in 15 minutes. We need your AMA questions. Any question, any topic for 140 on a Friday, make them weird. Let's kick things off in the 1 o'clock hour, though, by telling you what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
This decision would allow us to, one, do the right thing by our student-athletes, keep them at the forefront of all of our decisions, and make sure we create an environment to give us the best chance to play. I mean, one thing we have to realize that this is not a fait accompli, that we're going to have sports in the fall. We may not have sports in the fall. We may not have a college football season in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, with some unfortunate words yesterday on a day where they made an announcement that isn't the end of the world, but certainly isn't a good sign. And if you don't know, it's that the Big Ten is only going to play conference games next year. Their non-conference schedule is completely gone. It's bad news for fans that were looking forward to the non-con, like myself, looking forward to Michigan and Washington, fans looking forward to Ohio State and Oregon. It's even worse news for the small conference teams that were looking forward to those paydays. Sounds like the ACC is going to do the same thing. And I wouldn't be surprised, Randy, if we don't find out by the end of next week that all of the Power Five conferences are going to do this.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big announcement yesterday made by the Big Ten. Some say premature, but you know, for whatever it is a big thing, and it's going to be hard, I think, for other teams not to do it. And because of the fact is that if you still want to try and do the college football playoffs and all that, it makes no sense for one team to play 12 or whatever, and one team plays 9-10 games. But I mean, it's something. If they can pull it off, hell, who wouldn't want to see an all Big Ten schedule? Who wouldn't want to see an all SEC schedule? No, I mean, outside of Clemson, I guess you want to see an all ACC schedule. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is that you will. I mean, I would not pout because I still get to see Georgia, Alabama, and I think what they're trying to do is they're just trying to get it all the way in, and then when they get to a point where they're at the end of the schedule, do they add those games that they lost? Because those teams. We know that those checks are being paid out to those schools that you pay to come in here and you beat up or whatever, per se. And how's that money going to be doled out? Because we know this. We said it at the beginning of the show, Bunk. There will be lawyers involved. There will be lawyers involved as far as trying to get the full payment of that money. But, it's a fact that you didn't think you were going to hear 2 months ago. Oh, college football is going on by date. Oh, yeah, SEC. Yeah, all this, all that. The NCAA has no damn leadership. They have no leadership to have one formidable opinion. That's why these teams are going to – that's why these conferences are going to eventually – and I never thought – because John Fricke told me this a long time ago. I never said, nah, whatever. They're going to break off and start – they're going to start their own thing, man, because they don't need the NCAA. And if this right here – if this situation right here lets you know that you don't – they don't need you, the NCAA, then nothing else will.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, that is one of the many – things that we can take away from what this time has showed us. I mean, we knew Mark Emmert was a joke, but the fact that conferences are just spitting in the face of anything that he tries to say is pretty obvious proof of that. And then with this announcement yesterday from the Big Ten, and the SEC is going to do their meeting next week, and the Pac-12 might follow suit, it really would be nice to have a unified voice when it comes to Power 5 football. Because what the Power 5 conferences do in football impact literally every athletic department in the country. We're talking about the basketball programs on campus, all of the other college athletic programs on those Power 5 campuses, the football programs in the Group of Five, the football programs in the FCS. Like, the Power 5 money, the money that is generated by those, however many schools that is, like, what, 67 Power 5 schools, rule what is done in college football. And what the Big Ten did yesterday makes it really hard for those other schools to have a season this fall. And honestly, if this goes across the board for all the Power Five conferences, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Group of Five and the FCS, much like the Ivy League did, make their switch to spring and try to get a college football season played in spring where maybe they could have fans, because that's how they make their money besides getting those paydays from playing the Power Five schools. What I don't understand is how it solves the health issue. Like, traveling in conferences a lot of times is further travel than non-conference games. A lot of times your non-conference games are teams that are right around you geographically. You look at the Big Ten, they got teams in New Jersey, on the East Coast, they got teams in the Midwest, in Nebraska. We're talking about thousands of miles, 1,000 miles between schools. If they really wanted to condense things and limit travel, find a way to have regional schedules. Find a way to schedule 10, 11 games against the teams that are close to you geographically, if that's what you want to do. But I don't know. I don't know what happens from here, but it was not a good day yesterday.
No, it wasn't a good day. But it wasn't a good day because of the fact that you find out that some teams that need money are being eliminated. It's not a good day because you feel like you're being robbed of some games of college football. Because right now, when you look at what happened in the Big Ten, now you're like, damn, so what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen next? I mean.
What Greg McGarrity said yesterday. Yeah, like, it's trending in the wrong direction.
What's going to happen? It's not going in that right direction. And now we're at a point where what else is going to be next? We know that they're talking about canceling high school football out in the state of Texas. I mean, how big a deal is that? I mean, once they canceled the national fair out there in Texas, because it's usually when it's Oklahoma, Texas, that's when you're like, oh, hell. Well, we know ain't no fans going to be there because, I mean, hell, if there ain't no carnival. I know it's Oklahoma, Texas, so they'll go without the damn carnival. But, you know, I mean, it just seems like we're so worried about, well, can they play in front of fans instead of just getting the game? I just saw something that Jacksonville, the Jaguars, they said that because applying with state laws and rules and regulation, Andy, that they could have 25% capacity when the Jags play. Well, ain't that usually what a Jag game is? You know,
nicely,
man?
Done.
You like that, didn't you? But yeah, no, that's pretty good. But somebody tweeted it back, like the quote. It was like, well, what about the Georgia Florida game? So does that mean we can have divide the game up between 25% of fans in the Georgia Florida game if they have it down in Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't know how this is going to go. I know that we know the SEC is meeting next week. I would doubt they will have a decision by next week, knowing the SEC, because I just think that they're trying. They're going to try and convince the other conference, maybe that y'all hold off a second. Y'all let the Big Ten, because if we stay packed as far as we're going to play our full schedule, maybe the Big Ten will come out. Maybe they'll come back.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, if the SEC says, oh, we're doing it. We're playing USC, Alabama, early September. We're playing our non-conference games. Maybe they'd go back the other way. I don't know. I do think the SEC is the leader in all of this. I think the SEC is the big dog in all of this. But didn't expect to see the Big Ten did what they did.
Do you think
yesterday.
The Big Ten did it because people look at the SEC as a top conference?
I don't know. I really don't. No. This wouldn't be a good way of showing that you're the top conference, though, would it? Like,
no, by feeling like you're out in front of it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. What I do know is that the Braves played another scrimmage yesterday, and Brian Snitker spoke afterwards. Here he is.
I saw that cutter kind of back to where it used to be. So, overall, again, it's just to get him out there. But it feels good. I think it's going to continue to get better as we keep doing these things.
Yeah, he's talking about Folty getting on the mound yesterday, pitching well, didn't give up a hit in three innings, and that's good. That's good. Folty and Freed and Soroka looked really solid in their return in their inter-squad scrimmages, and I think a lot of that has to do with the work that they were putting in when they weren't together. We read a lot about what Folty and Newcomb and Soroka were doing up here at a local high school working out together, and it looks like it's paid off, which is great. I mean, it's up to you, and it has been up to you as an individual. It's the same thing in the NBA, same thing in the MLS, same thing in the NFL, college football. You haven't been able to be around your team. It's up to you to do your job and stay ready. It looks like the Braves pitchers have stayed ready, and hopefully they're really ready to go in 2 weeks from today when the season starts.
Let's just hope so, man. I mean, we're not going to get overly confident off of two scrimmages, but we would have been real critical if they played bad. You know what I'm saying? We would have been real bad if Mike Soroka, Max Fried, and Fulte, they looked bad. We'd be like, man, they ain't been doing, but now you can tell they have been doing something. So we're going to keep it positive from that standpoint.
All right. Another thing that we know and we're very excited about is that Atlanta United play tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Maybe no one more excited about that than Mike Conti, however. The voice of Atlanta United will join us coming up next to get us ready for the return of soccer. Talk to Mike next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Minutes away from the AMA to close things out here on a Happy Hour Friday. Send us your questions, any question, any topic, on Twitter at TBM929, at RandyMack81, or at Wendy Radio. Also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line. Make them weird. It's Friday. We're having fun. And it's for the first time in 4 months, it's a Friday before we have a live sporting event for a local team. Like Atlanta United play a soccer game, man, tomorrow. And look, I know we're all very excited about this. I also know that our friend Mike Conti is very excited about this. I wonder, Mike, you've called a lot of sporting events in your life. You've called basketball, football, soccer, whatever, like a lot of different stuff. How are you feeling in terms of looking forward to tomorrow? Where does this compare to other games you've called?
This will be the most emotional thing I've ever called.
Yeah. Really?
I got to admit, guys, like, I've never really told anyone this before. I really thought when we signed off in Mexico City that night, I thought there was a chance I may never call a game again. Because you don't know. You didn't know when you signed off that night. You saw the entire sports world starting to shut down. And then you think, well, I mean, if there are no sports, is there going to be any 92.9 The Game? And if that's the case, am I going to have a job? And if I lose my job, am I ever going to call a game again? So, I mean, it's worst case scenario thinking, obviously, but I thought that night when we were packing up in Mexico that might be it for me forever, which would have devastated me. I mean, I love doing this. This is my passion. I think we all can relate to this. It's our passion. We don't do it for the money. We do it because we love to do it. And it's going to be emotional calling it tomorrow because I honestly thought there was a chance I wouldn't get this opportunity. And it's something that I take very seriously. It's something that Jason takes very seriously. We were at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this morning kind of doing some run-throughs. That's where we're going to be calling these games for the next 5 weeks from our broadcast booth there. And to just be back at work today and feel that sense of normalcy in these very odd times was very cathartic for me. And I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm excited, I'm happy, I'm kind of sad at the same time, like a lot of emotions, but really, really eager to get on the air tomorrow night and get live sports back going in Atlanta. We were the last ones off, and we're going to be the first ones on, I guess.
Yeah.
We are, and we're super excited, Mike. We know how hard this has been, not calling games, not us not watching games, us not screaming and bad, all those good old things. And we saw the hookup, and it was so sweet. Now, are they going to put the TV on the Jumbotron, or are you guys going to watch it on those TVs?
I did not ask. They might put it on the Halo board. I know that. It's kind of a surprise, but I guess kind of not. If Atlanta United scores a goal, we're going to hit the goal horn in the stadium.
Okay.
If they win, we'll hit the goal horn. Yeah, I mean, we're going to have fun with it. Matt Moore, who's their director of digital and broadcasting, is going to be doing the PA announcing in the stadium. So if a Red Bull player gets booked, he'll get on the microphone and ham that up a little bit. So we're going to have fun with it. I mean, it's going to be a little bit eerie and different doing a game inside an empty stadium. But the setup that they've given us there is incredible. I mean, they have a full studio built out for us with monitors and headsets that are all socially distanced. And honestly, the coolest thing of all is, do you know how Jason and I are ensuring we're staying socially distant?
Yeah.
They found the MLS Cup, the Anschutz Trophy that they won in 2018, and they put it up in the booth between us. So as long as we don't touch the Anschutz Trophy, we are assured of being socially distant. So that's a heck of a way to keep us separated, I guess.
So the third member of the broadcast team is the championship trophy?
That is correct. Yeah, I don't know if we'll be interviewing him at halftime. Maybe we'll use it as a coffee urn for the post-game show. I'm not quite sure. I do know that the trophy has been polished and tidied up significantly since its last public appearance, which was December of 2018 at a certain nighttime establishment.
Yeah.
It has been polished and repaired since then. So, yeah, I mean, if the trophy has anything to say on the broadcast tomorrow night, we'll put a microphone on it.
It might have got polished that night as well. Mike Conti joining us.
There you go.
As we get as we get ready for Atlanta United to come back tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Not the first game in the MLS's Cup, MLS's back tournament, though, which is nice. We've gotten to see some other teams play.
Yeah.
It's, as far as I can tell, it's looked like they've done a really nice job. What have you made of the first couple of games that we've watched?
Yeah, I think it's been okay. You know, you're going to expect to see some rust early, and I think you definitely saw that in the Orlando-Miami match. It did have moments of sloppiness. The game-winning goal by Orlando was not a pretty goal by any stretch, but it counts. I thought Philly-New York City played a really kind of grinding tactical game yesterday morning. I was anxious to see the 9 a.m. game and how that's going to play out, because Atlanta United will be doing that on Thursday. I guess you guys will be doing the post-game show with us on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little weird. But just for you guys to come on after a game. But it's been okay. And I think the big thing is the Dallas and Nashville situations have obviously been incredibly significant storylines and justifiably talked about. But it sounds like, other than those two teams, there has been not a single confirmed positive in that bubble. And that there's evidence that Dallas came in infected and Nashville came in infected. That's really, really significant. And I heard you guys, when I was driving from the stadium to the studio, talk about what happened with Major League Baseball. This has very significant implications for where the NBA goes from here, where the National Hockey League goes from here, because they're doing bubbles. If MLS can prove that the bubble works and it's mitigating the spread of infection, that's going to be a good sign for sports down the road. And it sounds like the evidence is growing down there in Orlando that the bubble is working.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what are your expectations for tomorrow night? I mean, of course, obviously to win. But, I mean, when you look at all the guys are healthy now, because, you know, when like you said, when you signed off, there were a lot of guys, there were a lot of key guys that were banged up. What are your expectations as far as the pace tonight? Who's going to be up top? I mean, all these different things that we don't know yet.
Well, one thing that I think will be a substantial difference from what you saw in Mexico City is Atlanta United is going to be incredibly solid in the back, because now for the first time we're going to see a center back pairing of Miles Robinson and Fernando Meza. It's amazing to think, guys, that Miles Robinson is going to be playing his first Atlanta United match in 9 months on Saturday. Competitive match. He did play in the preseason, but then he got hurt at Leones Negros. So we're going to see Miles Robinson for the first time in 9 months. I thought Meza, what we saw of him before the stoppage, was the potential for him to be basically Leandro Gonzalez-Perez, but without the rash challenges, a really steady kind of rock-like center back. And those two paired together as center backs. And then if you decide to play in a 3-4-3 and you add Franco Escobar in as the third center back, I really think that's solid. I think that's going to be difficult for Red Bulls to penetrate. I think where Red Bulls will try to hit Atlanta United is on the counter. Remember the match they played last May up in New York, where Red Bulls had a guy red carded early, and then they scored with 10 men on a counter and kind of hung on to win 1-0. I think Red Bulls are going to try to hit Atlanta United on the counter. When they played against Real Salt Lake in their last league match in March, they really conceded a lot of possession, and RSL outshot them 21-4, and it was Red Bulls on a counter getting a game-tying goal. So I think Atlanta United will be very, very difficult to penetrate defensively. As far as Atlanta United's attack is concerned, like, playing Red Bulls is like going to the dentist. You know, everything is painful and difficult and long and, it, you know, tough. So we're going to see a big, big challenge for Atlanta United without Joseph Martinez trying to play through that defensive pressing style of Red Bulls. And I think the biggest question of all, guys, is, what do they do with the number nine? Do they play with the false nine? Is it Mateus Hozetu? Is it Pity Martinez? Is it a pair of false nines with Barco and Pity? How does Emerson Heinemann factor into this? Remember, Heinemann comes into this tournament second in the league in goals scored right now. So Atlanta United's got a lot of guys who can score, but they don't have a Joseph. And I'm going to be very, very curious to see the lineup tomorrow night, to see tactically what the formation will look like and what the idea is, what the concept is, in addressing that loss of Joseph Martinez.
Yeah, and it seems weird because we put a 4-month pause on all these conversations because it was just talking about how they could actually get back out on the field. Mm-hmm. But they're still in the midst of figuring out how they're going to deal with Joseph not being there. They've only had 2 games with no Joseph Martinez. So I asked Jason this on Wednesday, and I imagine you have thoughts on it as well. Do you anticipate them just going game by game and kind of figuring out, okay, this is how we want to attack this defense with no Joseph, or do you think that they'll settle on one player in that spot as we go on?
Now, I think in the group stage here of this tournament, it is a game-by-game decision. It's something that Frank DeBoer mentioned, I think it was yesterday when he had an availability with the media, is you've got to be really careful with your selections because you're playing every fifth day. And the lineup that you start in game one, especially the players who have to run a lot and put in a lot of work, you're going to want to avoid giving them too much work in game two, especially when you're playing that game at 9 a.m. It's like you lose an extra day of preparation. I think you're going to see a lot of lineup rotation between match one and match two, the Cincinnati match. And then on top of it, just in terms of tactics, playing Red Bulls is a lot different than playing Cincinnati and Columbus. So what might work against Red Bulls in an attack is not going to work necessarily the same against those two teams from Ohio. So I think you're going to see a real rotation in the lineup. But the good news is everyone outside of Joseph is healthy and ready for selection. So Frank is going to have a ton of options. And I would not be shocked, guys, if the 17-year-old from Braselton, Tyler Wolf, gets significant playing time in this tournament. He played with the first team in the preseason. We saw him in Birmingham. I thought he played very, very well there for a 17-year-old. I think they're going to give the kid a shot. And he's just one more piece that you can add to that attack to give Frank DeBoer another option, another piece of depth.
Well, Mike, we do appreciate you joining us, man. I don't know if we're as excited as you are, Mike, but I can't wait to turn on 99 The Game, listen to you and my man Jason Longshore get down, because I predicted 3-1 foots
okay.
for Atlanta United. That's okay. what I said, Mikey. Oops. I'm going 3-1.
If I see a couple he's a bad man tweets from you on Saturday, I know it's going to be okay. I know it's not in reference to Joseph, but maybe you can apply that moniker to Barco or something for the time being.
Probably a little bit too much wine if I tweet out to bad man.
Hey, I might have some wine, too, if it's a good night, so don't worry about it.
And
appreciate
Mike,
it, Mikey.
Shout out for saying what you said at the beginning. I had the exact same thought when all this started. And I think you wouldn't mind if I said this. It's a huge credit to the listeners of 92.9 The Game.
Oh, without a doubt.
Unbelievable.
Without a doubt.
Been able to get through these last 4 months without a huge dip in anything. So.
Oh, no. And Andy, also, I just have to say quickly, it is a real credit to the players who are putting themselves, I'll admit, in a very uncertain safety situation to go down to Florida and be away from their families for 5 weeks to give us something to call. So I'm really, really grateful to the players of MLS and Atlanta United for doing this, but absolutely our listeners. And the way that our listeners have stuck with us for these 4 months, I get almost choked up thinking about it. I mean,
me too.
Me too. I'm just so grateful. So yep. grateful for that.
We can't wait to hear you tomorrow night.
Appreciate
calling
it, my brother.
Actual
take care,
Mikey. Atlanta United game.
Okay, guys, take care.
Mike Conti there, 8 o'clock. Tomorrow is the kickoff. Woo-hoo! You can tune in for
the
game as well.
Okay, what time is the actual damn kickoff, Andy?
It'll be like 8:20.
45?
8:07.
Okay,
thanks, Mike.
8:07.
Okay. Oh, it'll actually be 8:07. Okay, there you
actually
go.
Actually 8:07.
So there you go. It's right after 8 o'clock. We'll come back and get to an AMA, any question, any topic to wrap things up here on a Happy Hour Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA Ask Me Anything segment to wrap things up every day, especially on a Happy Hour Friday. What's up, Randy?
That damn J.R. Smith, they got NBA is trying to ban him from an Instagram live.
Already?
Yeah. Damn J.R. Smith.
He's been down there for 12 hours. He's already in trouble. It's almost as if two radio hosts predicted that J.R. Smith was going to be flying the ointment down there in Orlando.
Yeah, J.R. Smith.
Hey, Randy, which player or team did you hate playing against most in your NFL career?
I don't think I ever hated against playing anybody. I mean, I love playing in Oakland. I just hate playing on the Oakland when they had that dirt. Man, out there, that was just horrible. But, I mean, I played on the first 5 years of my career in Miami. That and probably before Buffalo renovated their stadium, I told you about how raggedy the bathrooms were. It was a stall with no, or the toilet with no toilet seat, and then it was just bad. It was bad.
There was never a player that you were like, week four, we got this team. I know I'm going to have to block this guy. That's going to suck.
No, bring it. Bring it.
Yeah, I know. I knew that was going to be your answer. What's the favorite thing that you own that costs less than $100?
Oh, man, that's a great question.
I know mine. I don't know how much it costs, but I hope it was under $100. Drill that you and Donna got me for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I've been wearing that thing out. Yeah, you should see some of the stuff. I made these cabinet doors last weekend. Uh-huh. It's nice. We're doing nice work with that drill.
What $100 I like? You got right looking around.
I mean, a 12-pack costs less than $100.
Yeah. How about that one? Because that's at the house.
One food you won't eat?
I won't eat damn spam and buying sausages. And my wife, in the Filipino culture, that's like they love, like, tomorrow morning for breakfast, she's gonna make spam, buying sausages in a pan with some fake rice and eggs.
Oh, that's a great, what's that called? It's called Moco Loco or something like that?
Yes, good. Yeah, that's what they eat. That's what she cooks on Saturday.
I love that. God, that sounds good. The one thing, I've never eaten snails or escargot. I've never done that. I probably wouldn't. I'm not super adventurous when it comes to that kind of stuff. I hear it's good, but it just seems gross. Okay, besides Braves players, which position players are you most looking forward to seeing play this baseball season? No Braves. Mm-hmm. Anybody else in Major League Baseball you're really looking forward to getting to see?
Maybe the Astros, because it just seems like the Astros are poised to win the damn World Series because all that crap that went on.
Anybody individually? Correa and his Instagram model wife?
Well, I mean, yeah. Was she going to have raggedy nails and raggedy hair?
She can't go to the nail salon. Yeah. I want to see Shohei Ohtani back healthy. Huh, I just love the dude that could pitch and hit at the same time. Yeah. It's crazy. I love watching that guy play. So him back healthy and with a beefed up lineup out there should be fun. I don't know how to ask that question. Do you have any good ones over there, Wendy?
What board game are you guys really good at?
Stratego.
Oh, really? I never played that before. I'm good.
Excellent at Stratego.
Oh, probably Monopoly. I always win.
I heard you're not that good at Scrabble.
No, I'm excellent at Scrabble. And if my wife ever told you that, I'd be playing. You think you'd be pouting during the AMA? I mean, I'm sorry, during Sports Jeopardy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it ain't got nothing to hurt when I be.
I don't think I pout. Oh, first of all, your entire premise is flawed.
You do. And when I whip her at Scrabble, oh, man. Woo-hoo.
I don't know. I'm not saying who told me that you're not good at Scrabble, but I did get a message just a little earlier that said that you don't win you play at home and that you're not good at it.
Well, that's a straight up not true. Not true at all. That's okay. All right.
I'm just letting you know what I was told. I don't know. I've never played you. Also, people with really good suggestions, maybe we change our buzzers in Sports Jeopardy because Andy and Randy do sound a lot alike.
They do. They sound exactly alike.
Yeah, they're one letter apart. So maybe you go Randy and I go Bunk.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Not next Friday, but the Friday after. We'll do that.
All right, you're about to get into a fight. What song do you want to come on?
I'm about to get in the fight. Tear the club up.
Tear
the club up. Yeah, tear the club up.
Knock if you buck.
Or I'm a knock like fight night.
Or that little scrappy song. What's the one?
To the left.
What's the little scrappy song?
No problems.
No problems. I want that one too. God, that song's so good. I'm going to listen to that song as soon as the show's over. Nothing gets me fired up quite like that little scrappy song does. Do any of us use Internet Explorer? What's the browser that you use these days?
Wendy put me on Chrome, so I use Chrome.
Yeah, Chrome, right? We're all Chrome people. We're all adults in the year 2020. Nobody's using Internet Explorer anymore. I used Mozilla Firefox for a long time. Not doing that anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's how you use put all them bugs on your computer. That Firefox.
Yeah. And then what's the other one? Safari. That's on a Mac. I don't like that one either. I'm Chrome. I'm Chromed out right now.
Which club is your favorite to hit on the golf course?
The one that works.
Right now, my driver. I've been hitting my driver good for like a month. Hitting it straight and pretty far enough, and that's been a good one. I wish the answer was like a 5-iron. I can't hit my irons to save my life right now.
I got that hybrid, bro. That thing does everything for me.
Yeah, Randy's money with the hybrid. He'll hit it on a 350-yard par 4 off the tee. He'll hit it on a 140-yard par 3 off the tee. Randy's hybrid is literally that. It's a hybrid. I mean, he'll hit it on any hole. It's versatile. Randy chipped with the hybrid when we played last Friday. He was like 30 yards from the green. He chipped with it, and he put it to like 8 feet. It was pretty good. Yeah, Randy's versatile. He's versatile with his hybrid game.
Randy, would you take on Hugh Douglas on a one-on-one Oklahoma drill?
Yeah. Ain't no punk bot, man. I get up there and put, man, Hugh, I know what he'll be in his little 4-point stance, crouch, and I'll be in my 3-point stance, and we'll just meet in the middle. Now, Hugh heavy, but I'll get up under them pants.
You're quicker than Randy.
Are you
still claiming you won Scrabble?
Donna, I did not win Scrabble. You did not win Scrabble, woman. You show me the paper, because you were throwing the paper and everything. Get out of here. I'm trying to work. Interrupting me.
Randy obviously is, you know, you're a former professional football player. You at least would have some level of technique to deal with Hugh. Who would be the funniest person at 92.9 The Game to have to see go up against you in Oklahoma drill?
Oh, John Fricky.
Besides Fricky, come on. Oh. Is that just, you know.
That's an
you?
Easy answer.
You?
Me, yeah. I mean, it would be, oh God, I'd be dead. He would pick me up and throw me so far. I mean, it would just be embarrassing. I wouldn't be able to walk for a week. That would suck.
Next question. What was Randy's rookie prank or best prank he witnessed?
I think the one thing, because like I was a rookie that I complied. Whatever they needed, I got for them. But the one when we had one that didn't comply, and during training camp, they taped him to the damn goalpost, literally with all this tape. And he was like a damn, couldn't move. And then they just took turns with all the damn Gatorade and water and just dumped it on him. And it was so funny because none of the fans left. Because usually the fans, as soon as practice was over, they leave. Well, they got him as soon as practice was over. And so, I mean, you imagine being in Miami, it's 98 degrees. You just finished practicing. The second part of a two-a-day, they take you to a goalpost full padded, and all of the fans get to see it. It was, oh.
That's brutal. That's embarrassing.
Dude, oh, man.
All right, let's get the takeaways of the day and get out of here.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, I forgot Ken yesterday. I'm very, very sorry, Ken. So we'll start with Ken today with takeaways of the day, who's done a great job the last 3 days filling in for drunk on the golf course somewhere, Brian Gebhardt.
Appreciate it. I was talking to Sean this earlier. I used to be a big drinker when I was in the military, but since I've got now, I really don't drink that much. And I think the last time I actually drank was last year. And the last time I actually went to a bar was like 4 years ago, I think.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, takeaway of the day.
But I'm turning 40 this year, so we're turning up on my birthday. So
there you go, Kenny. Straight up.
All right, Wendy, what about you?
My takeaway of the day is that the Yams committee is a little disappointed that Randy did not know the answer to the Super Bowl halftime show question.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm disappointed in myself. Shakira.
It's a Yammy halftime show.
Yeah, man. I'm disappointed in myself.
My takeaway of the day is that Wendy is still a savage. With her birthday last night, she said lots of wine and shots of tequila, and the bounce back game on point. No issue this morning whatsoever.
Oh, yeah,
that is impressive. What about you, Randy?
First of all, we got some news from the Braves. They just released a press release. The Braves and the Marlins will play a pair of exhibition games on July 21st and 22nd over at Truist Park. So that they'll get to go get some get a warm up game. And my takeaway of the day is during Sports Jeopardy when Andy's losing. If you ever listen to our intro, he really does act like Andrew Stephen Bunker. That just sounds like Andrew Stephen Bunker. Get over here and stop pouting.
Yeah. Well, I won, and that sounds like sour grapes
my
from
brother.
A loser.
Hey, my brother, man, you and your wife, y'all have a safe trip. Y'all have fun. Give her a hug for me. Tell the Davises I said, what's happening? Be safe,
Will
my brother.
Oh, we'll miss you, man. Have a great week next week. I'll be back the week after that. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Talk to you then.
Watch out now!
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.